Good afternoon. I'm Florence Schwein, your host for today's El Paso Primetime, and my guest is El Paso fitness and nutrition professional, Patrick Hopkins. Patrick holds a BS in nutritional science from California Polytech State University, and this is our second show in the nutrition series of doing food shopping. As a personal trainer, he emphasizes that the right exercises work hand in hand with the foods we eat. And what we eat starts with how we manage our daily lives. Thanks for your time and expertise, Patrick. Welcome back.
Appreciate it being here.
During the last segment, we used my household of my husband and me, seniors in our 70s, and started filling my grocery cart. But I should say that purchasing the ready roasted chicken, fresh produce, and hitting the deli cases, your tips could help any household, wouldn't you say so?
I think so, yeah, based on what I've seen in general society. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm learning that you don't think I'm part of general society here.
No, I don't. Based on what I've seen in your meal planning, I think that you are much more advanced in terms of your healthfulness and food preferences and whatnot.
That might be because my daughter's a personal trainer on the East Coast. I don't know.
Probably is very much the case.
But, of course, she hasn't lived with me for 25 years.
Well, you definitely hear her brain, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I'm learning from a nutritionist, listeners. So I hope you'll stick with us as we continue to fill this grocery cart with foods that are both practical for busy lifestyles and good for us. Patrick, we have roasted chicken in the basket, which at our house we'll eat the breast without the skin, and the rest of it will be used in stir fry or soup or chicken salad. Hints about those dishes as I use the rest of the chickens?
I think my only suggestion would be, like in stir fries, kind of minimize your oil that you would use in a stir fry. You'd be amazed at how much adding just a little bit of water during the course of a stir fry will keep product from burning or sticking and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's probably, especially if you're using the dark meat of the chicken, it's going to create some additional fat mm-hmm. in that, and the need for additional oils. I'm blown away when I am at a client's house and we brown ground beef and they coat the bottom of their pan with oil first. It's amazing to me, and they realize quickly that that's absolutely not necessary.
Right. Nonstick pans?
Yeah, just a quick little easy, like a canola oil or something like that. Obviously something that's non-hydrogenated. Quick little spray on it and you're good to go.
Yeah, I get that kind of spray olive oil.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
And use my nonstick pans.
Absolutely.
And so
yeah, that works the best.
You don't even have to put a spoonful of olive oil in.
No, that's not necessary.
Yeah, I thought everybody did it that way. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, they don't.
Well, that's a good tip. Now let's just go on and go back to that fresh meat counter. Take on beef first. That seems to be the one that people either enjoy the most and maybe miss by.
Yeah, I think flavor is the primary culprit in purchasing their beef choices and their cuts. Again, we talked about this last week, the ribeyes and the New Yorks are your most flavorful, but they're most flavorful likely because of the fat that's embedded in the beef. Sticking with your sirloins and your flank steaks and your leaner cuts are probably going to be a little bit cheaper, obviously, than a New York ribeye, but also much more healthful in terms of fat intake and whatnot.
But the days are long gone when we should have a 16-ounce steak.
That's a great point.
Right?
That overconsumption is a huge issue. We can only metabolize so much protein at a time, and yet people will sit down and eat an 8, 10, 12-ounce steak like it's nothing, and it's just overdoing our protein. And we were talking earlier, we don't store protein like we do carbs and fat. So if our body doesn't need that additional protein, it will first look to carbohydrate stores. And if carbohydrate stores are depleted, that protein will turn itself into a carbohydrate and be stored in the muscle or the liver.
Oh, really?
That's what can happen. It's through a process called gluconeogenesis. In the event that those carbohydrate stores are fulfilled, then that protein will be stored as fat.
Aha.
That's the way it is.
So Let's talk a little bit about how important protein is and why we need it and what it does for us, perhaps. And then this process of how it kind of changes its face.
Well, I think the importance of protein, in my opinion, is rooted in the fact that we as Americans are just over consumers of carbohydrates. If, in fact, we were to split the amount of carbohydrates that we consume on a daily basis and increase our level of proteins, quality proteins, naturally we won't be able to eat as much. We still can't eat as much of the portion of carbs and then add protein to it. So we're reducing our carb intake as a result, but we're also increasing those great quality proteins that will go towards replenishment, tissue replenishment. A lot of us are into resistance training these days in the gym, and those tissues are being continuously broken down. So we need those protein building blocks to do something good for our body as well. I think the idea of protein to make ourselves more healthful is a necessity, and we just aren't doing it.
Well, and I noticed that twice you used the word quality protein. So what's the difference here? What is a non-quality protein?
I think that most nutritionists would label a non-quality protein as something below the lean standpoint, the idea of lean. So even like a ground beef, an 85-15, I don't think would be labeled so much as a lean-based protein. It's still extremely fat. You know, most of your
63%, I think you told me. 63%,
yes, exactly. As opposed to a 90-10 is 51%, and a 96-4 is 29%.
So you're paying money for fat that isn't going to be good for you?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, when people see, this is a great point, and let's talk about this for a second. When people see it says 96.4, they immediately associate the 96 with being the fat percentage. And that's not the case.
No.
That's the volume. That's the weight of the lean meat that's used. Uh-huh. For example, in the case of 96.4, there are 96 pounds of lean beef that have been ground. Then they will take 4 pounds of lard, of beef fat, and they will grind it into that 96 pounds.
And that gives it more flavor.
To give an overall percentage of 100 mm-hmm. pounds, and then give it the percentage. So it's 96% lean, 4% by volume, by weight, mm-hmm. fat.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't associate that to 96% lean. It technically breaks down to 29%.
Of fat
per serving, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. So that's a great point. People see, 90-10, that's 90% lean. That's got to be really lean. And that's great. And I would much prefer them to choose 90-10 over 85-15. However, it's still 51% when it's all broken down and cooked in a cooked source.
So that brings this other thing that we've talked about earlier, and that was the fact that labeling is not what you think always.
No, it's not. It really isn't. And we've discussed this in the past. The food manufacturers have really gotten very tricky with the way that they promote and market their product. And it's for those of us that aren't abreast to those tricks, we are taken every time at the grocery store. You know,
that makes me a little angry.
Yeah, it makes me angry too, absolutely, which is why I work so hard to educate my mm-hmm. clientele and as many people as I can about those. For example, in order for a manufacturer to say that a product is fat-free, it has to have 0.5 grams or less than fat per serving, and they can label it as fat-free. So and that was dictated way back when in the late 90s through a big process, National Labeling and Education Act. And they really kind of slapped down the food manufacturers, and the food manufacturers quickly learned how to overcome these restrictions. So what they did is they just increased their serving sizes. So if a product had 10 servings in a mm-hmm. container, and each serving had 2 grams of fat, they just quadrupled the serving size. So now mm-hmm. it's got 40 servings, and now it's got 0.5 grams of fat.
And
so now they can say it's fat-free. The product hasn't changed. The servings per container have changed.
So people, listeners, look at the serving size mm-hmm. first, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then figure out exactly. You know, supersize me, isn't it, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that's just one example. We talked the other day about bread and, you know, the big 45-calorie slice is big right now. I hear lots of people, what about the 45 calories? Can I eat that? Can I eat a bunch of that? Well, sure, that's great, but if the 45-calorie slice is half of the weight of the normal slice,
mm-hmm.
then
you're talking 90 calories.
It's the same exact thing. They've just decreased the serving size of the bread to make it look like, wow, it's very desirable because it's only 45 calories. Because most people know that most bread slices are 80 to 100 calories.
So really, we're a little bit away from the meat right now, but we'll go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
For bread, you should look at the ingredients.
Look at the ingredients. Look at, yeah, with bread, it's really boils down to look at whole grains.
Mm-hmm.
Look for your whole grains and don't just look for, we talked about the other day with the pasta. Maybe we didn't, but,
no,
you know.
But we will.
We will. Okay, so anyway, look for whole grains.
We're not through this grocery shopping
yet.
We have
quite a bit to
go. I'm learning so much, listeners. We probably better get back to this meat case so I can fill this cart. Steaks, we've mentioned that pretty mm-hmm. much, and we've talked about the ground beef. Mm-hmm. How about roast?
Roasts are great. Roasts, I think people stray away from roasts largely because of the cooking process that they choose.
And oh, slow.
Yeah.
Slow
cooker. It has to be slow. That's the only way that you're going to break down those fibers and make it much more palatable and less chewy and less fibrous in nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're busting out with the slow cooker and the, you know,
mm-hmm.
let it go for 10 hours or 8 hours. And you've got a great piece of meat.
Except
as a result.
Except if I do it overnight, that smell wakes me up sometimes in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can, it smells good.
Time to get up. Yeah, but the roasts are great choices.
And the sirloin roast.
The sirloin roast is fine, too. And the other thing that we haven't even talked about is there's nothing wrong with picking a choice of meat or a style of meat, a cut of meat, and then also trimming it when you get it home.
Oh, yeah.
You can continue to trim the fat off. Flavor it with something else, especially if you're making a stew out of it. There's no need to have all that additional fat if you're going to add flavor back into the pot of stew.
Mm-hmm. For instance, you don't really have to cut it into chunks and brown it in flour and then put it into your pot.
No.
No, you can add something to thicken it later.
My first thought on browning it in flour, isn't the flour all going to come off anyway? When it's actually in the pot of stew and you're stirring.
It just smells good while it's being browning. But that's what a lot of people do. I don't do that.
Yeah, that seems a little redundant to me if you're gonna lose your flour anyway and once it's put in all that fluid.
Oh, yeah,
And with the flour also comes the oil. You're going to have to brown it in a big oil-based pan.
And you don't have to do that.
And now you're just increasing the fat once again. So you can cut all the fat off, but then you add the fat back in by browning it in oil,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and the point is you're never going to know how much better or the difference in flavor unless you try. Just try it once. Try it once and see if you can't create a product that's just as tasty is the full fat product that you used to make. You never know until you try.
Right. And maybe try more than once.
Sure. Yeah.
Ways.
Don't just
talk
try
to
once.
Talk to your friends who might be doing it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Especially seniors. We all learned to cook in a different way
mm-hmm.
When we were much younger. And
right.
So sometimes we need to get away from that or look at new things
right.
in new ways. If you are just joining us, I'm Florence Schwein, and my guest is nutritionist and personal trainer Patrick Hopkins. And this is the second segment of Filling My Grocery Cart with Foods That Make Sense and Are Good For Us. Please remember, that this adventure is a challenge for educational purposes only and not an endorsement of any particular product nor grocery store. Shall we get back to that meat counter, Patrick?
Yes, please.
Pork. That's another. The other white meat?
That was a great campaign slogan long ago, wasn't it? And it mm-hmm. and it got a lot of people. I don't know that it was a valid campaign. I don't know
why?
That I would. Well, because pork is some types of pork still are very high in fat. Mm. You know.
How about those little loins that are you
the
can't
loins
see,
are probably your best choice.
You can't see any fat on them, basically, just a little bit.
Sometimes. Well, and that's a great point. Take a look at a pork loin and a beef loin, a beef mm-hmm. tenderloin, and look at the difference in color. The difference is much more pale
mm-hmm.
and moderately loin? Oblique.
Oh, yeah.
Not oblique, but kind of opulence oblique. In color.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's an indication of red. That's an indication of deep red tissue, mm-hmm. red meat.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beef and in the other, that's an indication of how much fat is actually mixed in inside within the fibers of the meat itself.
So that's that lighter meat or that another white meat, that lighter means that there's more fat actually in it?
Not necessarily because that's that doesn't make sense with chicken, right? Because your white meat chicken is always your lightest.
But with pork, we're talking
about.
But with
pork, that's probably the case.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So roast, chops, ground pork?
You know, I think all those choices are great in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's variety is the spice of life with nutrition. And if you hold yourself to such constraints and limit your variety, things will get monotonous and it'll get boring and it'll fail.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having variety in your meal planning and choosing those cuts every now and again is a great way to create longevity in your meal planning. However, I think sticking with primarily pork or lamb throughout your weeks is probably not your best choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, like when I get one of those little pork roasts, you know, the rest of it becomes stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
Or into soup or sandwich spreads.
When you find something that's a great deal, you find a pork loin that's mm-hmm. a tremendous deal and it's, you know, pennies on the dollar compared to what you normally see, great, buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it. You don't have to use it then. Just buy it and freeze it and then bust it out some other time.
Yeah, my friend the freezer. Ham, sliced ham. And I know when we were at the deli case, we were talking about getting ham there, but I get it back at the meat case, and if it's not sliced, have it sliced.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference there?
Probably the level of preservatives that go into sustaining that meat product and that shelf life.
Mm, so
that's probably the biggest difference.
And in my household, I try to stay away from some of those preservatives as much
absolutely.
As I can. Lamb. We haven't talked about lamb. Lamb chops. Mm.
I'm not a favor of lamb. But again, back to the variety, I think it's important to have variety. If you love lamb, great.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely one of your fattier
is it?
Meats. Yes.
Mm-hmm. A lamb roast, then?
It's fattier. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's typically fattier. There are not leaner cuts of lamb, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But again, variety.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can get lean, maybe, with this next area. Turkey. Turkey breast.
Mm-hmm.
The difference here in light and dark meat.
Same as with all
poultry.
Poultry, yes. You're still gonna your dark meats are still gonna be much fattier.
Mm-hmm. So if you have the opportunity, and there's a platter, choose the white meat, right?
I would say so. Yeah, I would say so. With respect to the ground turkeys,
yeah.
You know, there are a lot of there's like a 99% ground turkey out right now, and.
Right.
It's extremely lean. You know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about. It's extremely lean. However, trying to make turkey patties, turkey.
Doesn't work.
It's pretty dry. So,
well,
what I would suggest.
And they're not real flavorful unless
not
you
real
put a lot
unless
of.
You put a lot of flavor in them. You're right.
Yeah. That's where the spice cabinet comes in.
And you know what you can do, too, is if you like your vegetables and things like that, there's no reason why you can't chop up a different some varieties of colors of bell peppers mm-hmm. in the little mm-hmm. little cubes. Chop up some mushrooms and mix it in with your raw turkey. ground turkey, and then put it on the barbecue that way.
I hadn't thought about that.
Or saute those, mm-hmm. not with a bunch of butter and whatnot, and pull the flavor out of those, and then let it cool down, and then mix it in. So now it's kind of sauteed, and it's
like
it's
onions
already cooked.
And peppers.
Exactly. Yeah, and that adds a lot of flavor to a burger.
To a turkey burger.
What I was going to say, however, is that 99%, they make that, and then they make a lean turkey. That same manufacturer makes a lean turkey. Buy a pound of each and mix them together. So you're going to get some of the flavor and mm-hmm. the fat and the moisture out of the lean to add to the extra lean. Because that extra lean can can get awfully dry at times. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, a few years ago, I went to a local meat market and I was wanting ground turkey. And I was really chastised by the butcher who said, "Nobody buys ground turkey
really?
Here, so we don't sell it that often." But that's changed. It was funny. I've been trying to use ground turkey for a long time, but these hints are great. I hadn't tried that.
And it's not to say that you can't use that fat-free or that 99%. Use it in a – ground it up and use mm-hmm. it in a tomato sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and that's your meat source in your pasta sauce.
Your protein source.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then let it simmer for half an hour, 45 minutes, and that protein will break itself down, especially with the acids of the tomatoes, mm-hmm. and it will become much more moist.
I mix ground turkey and ground beef to make meatloaf.
There you go. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
And so I figure I'm cutting some of the fat.
Sure.
But anyway, well, that just about does those major meats, but mm-hmm. let's go over here to the seafood. I know I have some favorite seafoods or fish. Give me a freshwater trout and I'm
really
lost.
You like the trout. Okay.
Oh, I love freshwater trout. And but not the sea trout. Two different kinds of fish.
I'm not super abreast to the differences in trout. I do know that most of your cold water fishes are a little bit higher in fat. It's not to say that tuna is not necessarily like that, however, but your spring trout is probably much less fattier than your ocean trout.
Mm.
I have ocean trout. I think it's ocean trout. Maybe it's freshwater trout. I have it on my food database that I offer my clientele.
Mm-hmm.
Most people stray away from it because of the bones.
I know.
We've talked about that already.
Oh, and if you've ever been in a very fine restaurant where they fillet it at the table, it's like a ballet to watch them with their hands as they take those bones out.
Yeah, they're good at it.
It looks beautiful,
I'm not
actually.
So great at it, so.
If I'm going out for dinner, I'd like to get a nice piece of trout.
Mm-hmm.
But what about some of those other seafoods, scallops?
Your shellfish, generally shellfish across the board is very lean,
mm-hmm.
can be very flavorful. Where people go wrong is adding butter. You know, it's very typical to dip your scallops in butter. It's very typical to dip your lobster in butter.
Yeah. that one I would do.
You know, those types of things, it's very typical to have your shrimp with a cocktail sauce type of thing, and you're getting tons of sugar out of that.
Yeah, don't forget there's sugar in those sauces.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not saying stray away from that. I'm just saying maybe, you know, there are always low sugar sources for almost every product out these days.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe try some of those different types of products and don't stray so much from the things that you really like. Just try and make them healthier choices.
Salmon is hot right now.
Salmon's big, yeah, and most people will go to salmon because they've learned that salmon is the good fat,
mm-hmm.
and it is. It's a great fat. It is very high in your omega fatty acids. However, I also see that people choose salmon multiply throughout the week, and too much of a good thing is still too much. So too much fat, even if it's good fat, is still not great.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest to my clientele, choose salmon once a week.
Oh.
And choose some of those other fishes, your halibuts, your orange roughies.
Yeah. So fresh salmon, canned salmon?
I would go fresh any day of the week.
Because?
Flavor.
Flavor.
And control of product.
Oh, remember you want to be in control of what you put into your body.
Sure, absolutely.
So, salmon patties?
Sure. I mean, any way you make it, just try and reduce how you're preparing your food to minimize your additional fat. I mean, most salmon, it's going to be weeping of oil when it's a cooked product. So there's no need to add oil to the cooking process.
No.
I mean, broiled,
poached salmon is great.
Even
with
a broiled
lemon.
Salmon fillet is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Throw some seasoning on there, coat it with some lemon, and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who invented this recipe. He did it with Bulgarian yogurt, where you kind of let it sit in that for a while, and then you cook it over a bed of lemons.
Really?
And delicious.
Oh,
it's
I
the
bet.
Best salmon in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Well, you know, maybe we could just talk a moment about packaged meats, bacon, and then I think we're going to be just about getting close to out of time.
Your packaged meats are synonymous to your sliced meats that we talked about in the first row next to the produce.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same. You're still looking at all those preservatives.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon has made a big come around in the last couple of years because they're giving much leaner choices to bacon. There are products out there that are lean bacons, turkey bacons, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That still are flavorful. They don't carry the crispiness.
They don't carry that baggage of stuff that's not really great.
Right, and they certainly don't look the same, but they taste
still
about
work.
The same. You're gonna have to compromise a little bit.
Patrick, this segment has gone so fast. I can't thank you enough for your patience and your expertise. And remind listeners that nutritionist Patrick Hopkins and I will be back with you next week as we continue our shopping adventure. If you miss a segment, please go to ktep.org, click on past programs, and scroll down to El Paso Primetime. And so that way you can listen at your convenience. Patrick can be reached at
830-431-1242.
And his fitness website is www.builtbypatrick.com. The Rio Grande Cancer Foundation is instrumental in promoting wellness for all of us, and I'm grateful to them for getting us together. Also, thanks to Dennis Wu, the producer of El Paso Primetime. I'm Florence Schwein.